The 2026 Decoding Aggression and Reactivity Summit, created by my friend Ness Jones, launches April the 19th and 20th. She's brought together more than 10 professionals from around the world, myself included, to help you understand what's really going on underneath aggression and reactivity, and how to support your dog in a way that actually creates change. You'll get access to over 12 hours of education, real-world application, and conversations that go far beyond surface-level training advice. Plus, you receive a workbook and a gift from each of the speakers. For $47, you can't find that anywhere. Check the link in the show notes or go to dogspeak101.com to our event page to find our special link. What up, Dog Speak Geeks? Hope you're having a wonderful week. I have a couple of announcements before I get into the episode. August the 10th, we have our webinar on dog communication. If you work with dogs, live with dogs, do anything with dogs, and you've not learned how they use body language to communicate, this is a must. For $25, you're going to get the webinar. We will record it, so if you're unable to make the live version, you will have access to the recorded version. And if you do have a group that you would like to register, maybe it's your volunteers for your rescue organization, maybe it's your shelter staff, or maybe you just have clients yourself that you want to send this to. It is so important to get everyone involved in understanding dog communication. And if you do have a group, reach out to me and I'll be happy to give you a discount on a group ticket. The other event that we are having, and this one I'm really excited about, and it is local, so if you don't live here, I'm sorry, but you could probably find Rita somewhere. But we are having our Sniff, Sip, and Listen. It's an Herbal Dog Day Out event, and this is going to be with canine herbalist Rita Hogan. Now, Rita's going to share some highlights and insights from her new book on holistic dog care, offering practical ways to support your dog naturally from the inside out. And if you know Dog Speak, you know we work everything from the inside out. But this event isn't just about Rita. You're also going to get a mini communication seminar plus hands-on opportunity to observe dogs while they're interacting. For $65, you're going to get Rita's book, entry into the event, the mini communication seminar, plus you get free entry for your dog if you want your dog to come play while you're learning. We are going to be doing this at Urban Dog Bar in Nashville, Tennessee, in case you might be a new listener here. And it is going to be absolutely wonderful. Now, you don't have to bring your dog, but you're absolutely welcome to bring them once you register. So that is going to be such a fun event. Rita's going to sign her books, and it's just going to be so much fun to finally get with you guys in person, face-to-face, and meet some of you guys. So $65, get your tickets. They are limited, okay? So be sure you get those before they sell out. I think that's all the real announcements that I have right now. If you've not signed up, I guess I do have a couple of more. If you've not signed up for the newsletter, please do so. We put all of our information out on that. And if you have been a part of our Dog Speak Geek community through our Thinkific site, just know that that is closing down tomorrow, July 31st, and we are moving everything over to Patreon. Our Dog Speak Geek community will be $1 a month, and then we have our $5 a month that's going to give you some exclusive content. So please check out our Patreon if you would like to continue to support us, but also have the opportunity to learn from us in a more exclusive, private setting. Okay, I think that's it. Who knows? I'll probably jump up and think about something. When Britt's not here, I end up all over the place. She usually keeps me kind of grounded and on the right track. If you have been getting the newsletter, then you got to see that the new blog this week was about building resilience in your dog. And I want to talk about resiliency and how to build resiliency in your dog. But I guess first I need to tell you what resiliency is truly about and what it means to be resilient. Now, resiliency really is about how well you bounce back after a stressful situation or trauma. It's really how quickly do you recover. And it's not just recovering, you know, mentally, but it's recovering physiologically. Many times when we get stressed, our heart rate increases, our blood pressure may go up, we may have some GI issues. And we want to see how quickly can you recover when that happens? How quickly do your GI issues go away? How quickly do you get back to a normal heart rate? All right, so these are just little things that we're looking at when we're talking about resiliency. With our dog, they deal with stress on a regular basis. So having resilience is absolutely crucial to the overall welfare because they don't understand this world. It is an ever-changing world. And being that they're not even really in the environments, it's based on their genetics and what they were bred to do, that can create stress in and of itself. Now, Willow is really resilient, y'all. She can go through some things that may be, not wonderful. It can be a little traumatic. Let's just say that there was one trauma that happened this weekend. And I guess I'm just going to share it with you guys. You know what? You're my people. And you know what? It's a lesson for you as well as for me. So Saturday morning, I'm setting up things for a yard sale. I am not a morning person, as you guys have probably heard me say over and over again. It's about 6:50 a.m. My neighbors set up their stuff in my yard, and they're going to go off and do a day of things. I'm going to handle their stuff. And I have some items I'm putting out. I'm pretty much set up. It's going to start at 7 a.m. And I thought, well, I'm going to bring Willow out so she can, you know, sit with me in the garage. She can chew on her bone. This is going to be just a really nice morning. We'll have coffee. It's just going to be a really nice morning. So I bring her out. I am putting things out, and she's just walking around and checking out the neighbors. And I thought, you know what? She's just being a little too adventurous this morning. She is in heat. So I'm going to just hook her up in the garage. She's still not solid on those long stays. So I thought, I'm just going to hook her up in the garage. She just had her collar on. And so I took about an 8-foot leash, and I put the leash through a loop or hole, whatever you want to call it, on a full 5-pound propane tank. All right. I know all y'all going, oh boy, here we go. And I thought, you know what? She's not really been tied up or tethered much. So as soon as she feels just a little bit of that pressure, when she hits kind of the end of that leash, she'll feel that and just kind of hang out. So I wasn't worried about it. I'm in the driveway, and all of a sudden I hear this racket, and I look up, and here she comes barreling out of the garage with the propane tank following behind her. Now picture, if you will, the dog that's being chased by the retractable lead, the flexi lead, and the handle to that, how it's bouncing after them. Yep, y'all. She comes tearing out of that garage. I look up in time to see this propane tank barreling at me. I think I maybe jumped up, maybe, to try to avoid it taking out my ankles, like breaking my ankle. And when I did, when I came down, I landed on my right side with my arm tucked under me. So my tricep area, my elbow, my forearm, my wrist, that all got injured. And so when I rolled over, very quickly I rolled over and looked up. She's running through the yard, looking back at her, wondering why this propane tank is following her. And I can laugh now, but I just felt so bad. Anyway, I went and I went and got her, and I unhooked her from, you know, the leash, And as soon as I unhooked her from the leash, she went to this propane tank. Like, bitch, why are you following me? You got a problem with me? Like, she wanted to attack this thing. And I got tickled because I was like, well, maybe it was just, you know, it was training to run from the boy dogs because she's in heat. But it was just to show that resiliency in that moment. Now, I brought her up and I put her inside for a few minutes just so I could figure things out and check myself. And yes, I injured myself. I have a possible fractured bone in my wrist hand. I'm in a sling right now. Not a sling. I'm in a, yeah, something like that. But I brought her back out. I changed the leash, put it to something else, and then hooked her up to that. And she was a little nervous, and she was a little kind of not really excited about that. I get it. She just had a propane tank following her. She's in heat. Her vulva's very swollen. She's bleeding. But it didn't take long for her to be like, yeah, okay, that's just life. And she bounced right back. It was pretty impressive. And that's what I mean by that resiliency. She had something that could have been very traumatic happen to her, but she just bounced back and was like, okay, that was life. Let's get back to just living. And I really appreciate that with her. And I think that she had some, you know, genetic predisposition of having some good resiliency. But even if she did have that, if I didn't encourage her to have that resiliency, then I'm probably not going to get it just because she may be genetically predisposed. Because this isn't a trait that you're necessarily born with. It is something you need to build. So if you don't have resilience right now, or if your dog doesn't have resilience, that's okay. We can build it. We can build it. So how do we build that resiliency? Well, we can help our dogs build some confidence, teach them how to problem solve and be curious about things and learn how to adapt to different situations. Those are the traits we're looking for. Curiosity, adaptability, problem solving, right? We want to take these dogs that have a hard time struggling, you know, where they may shut down or they avoid things. Maybe they overreact, right? They explode and have a hard time coming back, right? If your dog goes through something that's stressful, say a thunderstorm, and 2 days after that thunderstorm, they're still having diarrhea, we have a resiliency issue, okay? If you have fireworks and, you know, the next day they're still hiding in the closet, we have a resiliency issue. And this isn't fair to the dog because this is something we can help them with. We can help build resilience and help them feel better about dealing with this world. And that is what we are going to talk about today. All right. Now, before we get into how to build, I do want to talk about some of the common mistakes that undermine resiliency. And some things that we have maybe done accidentally, right? Or we just didn't know better, or our dog just wasn't giving us the clearest signs. One of the main things that people will do is they oftentimes will flood their dog or overexpose their dog. In other words, they want to take their dog out to socialize, but instead of socializing with maybe one or two, three people, or dealing with a quiet environment, they go to the county fair and they have 150 people in a small area with lots of sounds and, unpredictable things that are taking place. That is going to cause problems because what's going to happen if this dog is unable to deal with it, they're going to shut down. Because stress doesn't just kind of deal with that mental aspect, but it truly does affect your system. The autonomic nervous system, the ANS, which is in charge of the fight-flight response, is going to get activated. And when it's activated, if they're unable to flight and they don't have the confidence to fight, guess what we get? We get that freeze. We get that fawn. It's where we're just shutting down. And oftentimes this people will believe that their dog is comfortable because they're not seeing any external behavior that is troubling. They just see the dog sitting there. But if we really, truly look at that body language and we understand how the breathing will change, the heart rate changes, blood pressure can change, right? Your dog's muscles will start to tense, and you can see how when you get the tension, hair will start to come up in places. So these are all symptoms and signs that your dog is struggling. Now, if you get them out of that situation, how long does it take them to come back around? That's the resiliency. Another thing that creates problems is suppression-based training, such as balance training, aversive techniques, making a dog afraid to make a choice, right? So these are easily going to affect a dog's ability to build resilience. Luckily, building resilience is something that can happen on a daily basis. You can build resilience during your everyday routine by allowing your dog agency over how they play, what they want to do, how they want to investigate something. One thing that I am really big on is when there's something new, and if you've never had a Rottie or seen a Rottie, or been around a Rottie in person, they are all about understanding when the environment changes, especially if it's the if it's an environment that they live in. So if there's anything new, let's say that a piece of paper flies into my yard, never been there before, my Rottie, Willow, is going to notice it, and she's going to let it know that she notices it. Now, some dogs may bark and bounce around and growl and be afraid, but I allow her time just to go and investigate it on her own. And as she is moving closer, I'm telling her what a good girl she is. I oftentimes would use my Mr. Rogers hack where I'm just saying, yeah, baby, it's just a piece of paper. It must have flown in here. It's okay. Yeah, you can check it out. That's a good job. That's a good girl. You're doing a really good job. You're so brave. Right? When our birdhouses fall or some some decor falls and it looks different, I don't tell her how silly she is for being nervous around something. I don't tell her how silly she is for being afraid. I support her and I let her know that I've got her back. And if she wants to investigate, I will investigate with her. I'm not going to encourage her to investigate by using treats or trying to get her to approach me next to a scary thing, because then I can become an aversive. And I don't want to do that. I want her to trust me. I want her to know that I've got her back. And at whatever pace she needs to go, that is the pace that we will go with, right? So that is a big one that you can really kind of give them that opportunity. And sometimes choice can be as simple as, would you like to wear this collar or this collar? Do you want to play with this ball or this ball? Right? So it's just supporting that choice and agency. Creating predictable routines, which I don't like the word routines, but I know that some people kind of think of it in that way, so I'm gonna use it there. But I really like to say patterns. Predictable routines when you're doing things that you do on a regular basis. So for me, I don't like to say a routine such as feed your dog the same time every day. What I want to say is create a predictable pattern to where you feed the dog the same way, regardless of what time you feed them. All right, so that's a little different. I may not feed at 9 o'clock every morning. It may be 10 o'clock, but it's the same way. You sit here, I put it together, we walk to your crate, you get in your crate, I put the bowl in, I close the door, I give you permission. Right? That's our predictable pattern. Oh, and then you sit in there for 20 to 30 minutes after you eat, regardless of what's happening outside the room. And that is a predictable pattern routine that Willow understands of what we do. And that way she doesn't have to guess what's next, what's going to happen, when am I getting out of here, what are they doing out there, why are the dogs running around free and I'm in here. She just understands. Okay. Also, using enrichment to build confidence and reduce stress, doing some ACE-free work, allowing your dog, that's a great opportunity to allow your dog some agency and choices. And free work, you can look that up, Sarah Fisher's ACE-free work. Love, love, love it. That is a really great way to build some resiliency and some problem-solving skills, confidence, and it can give you an opportunity to see your dog move, to see if there's anything that might be, you know, a little uncomfortable. Maybe they have neck pain, hip pain, leg pain, because trust me, dogs are going to have pain and not show you. When they show you, it's probably pretty bad. That's another story for another time. Another way is safe exposure, right? So if we expose our dogs to some new sounds, new environments, new surfaces, just novelty, just little things, this can help to build that. And the way I like to do it is I like to find a small, quieter area. So let's say I have a dog who is a little nervous about new environments. And we've done some confidence building at home. We put in some enrichment at home. And now the dog is ready to kind of start trying some new areas. Let's say I take a dog park and I'm going to sit in the parking lot in the car with the dog. And this is a dog who's just wanting to be exposed to new areas. The dog park may be a safe place for him because he sees other dogs and maybe he relates well to other dogs. That could help a little bit of support. If he sees other dogs enjoying themselves, he might decide that, oh, okay, this can't be that bad then. But having some distance and some control over it is what's going to be so crucial. So we're just going to sit and watch. We watch the world go by. And watching the world go by, so many people don't think that that's doing much. It's doing more than you could ever imagine, just watching the world go by. And it's going to allow your dog to make the decision of when they want to decrease distance to something, when they are feeling like that new thing in the environment is now just a part of the environment, then they'll be ready to go to the next one. So if I am working with a dog that, I'm trying to think of a really good example, and I probably should have thought about this example before I jumped on here, but I'm behind, as you guys probably know, because I'm recording this on Wednesday, and it's supposed to be out on Tuesday. My apologies, but I've had some pain in this arm. And some allergies, as you can probably hear. I digress. But let's say I take, I have a dog who is just afraid of, let's say, children. That's always a good one, right? The children are just overwhelming. Well, I'm going to probably sit maybe 50 yards from a playground, and I'm going to start there. And the dog is going to watch. I'm not going to request any behavior. I'm not going to set any expectations other than, I am here if you need me, and I'm not going to ask you to sit. I'm not going to ask you to watch me. I'm not going to ask you to disengage from them. I'm not going to ask any of that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sit here. I'm going to support you, and when you disengage from them and you engage with me on your own, we'll go from there, right? I'm going to reward you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to acknowledge you, and if you're ready to move closer, we'll move closer. If you're not and you're good there, then we might sniff, hang out there, do some, enrichment stuff. Maybe we do a little scatter in the grass, something of that nature, to where I'm saying, yep, you saw that kind of scary thing. It probably made you nervous, but then you were able to remove yourself from it and get back to baseline. And that scatter and sniffing in the grass can help to get back to baseline. So it's showing that there's going to be a little stress, right? To build resilience, there's got to be a little stress, but we just want to have just a little bit that just makes the dog be like, ooh, new, not sure how I feel, might be a little nervous, and then giving the opportunity to get back to baseline. And that's going to help to build some resilience with that. Now, I know this is, there are a lot of things that we can do specifically, and each case is going to be a little differently. This is more going to be an overview of what you can do and probably more so of what not to do when dealing with building resilience. If you just take it slow, and especially with things like thunderstorms, fireworks, right? That's hard to control, so you can't control that. What you can do, though, is you've got to be supportive to your dog. You've got to be supportive in those moments of that fireworks, of the thunderstorm, the loud noises, of being with them, sitting with them, doing some massage techniques, maybe giving them a CBD strip so that we're just kind of able to decrease the anxiety just a little bit, to help the recovery aspect go a little bit faster and come a little bit faster. Now, if your dog is not physically well, if they have stress within their body, if they have pain within their body, if they have poor gut health with poor nutrition, the nutrition's not good for them, then they are going to struggle even building resilience. So as you know, and I say it 100,000 times, we have to make sure that the gut health is where it needs to be. It needs to be healthy. That's the first thing. Work on that gut. Then make sure that your dog is physically feeling well. You would be amazed at how pain affects the dog and how pain is missed by many owners as well as many general practitioners, meaning many just general veterinarians. You want to find a holistic veterinarian, someone maybe who does pain management, or a physical therapist, canine PT, somebody who can really get in there and look at things. Because if they don't have that, then building resilience is going to be hard if they don't have good health overall, physical, mental. And that is crucial. And that goes before into the areas of safe exposure, supporting choice and agency, creating predictable patterns where you can, and ensuring that you're using that enrichment to build confidence and reduce stress. And if you do have a dog who gets stressed out and something scary happens, you need to cuddle that dog. You need to hold that dog and tell that dog that it's okay. I apologized so much to Willow, even though I seem to definitely be affected a lot more than she is or was with that whole debacle. I just told her, I'm sorry, that was my bad. I really didn't think that you would take off with a propane tank following you. That was my mistake. Who knew? She's only 54 pounds and 10 months old. But granted, their hormones make us do crazy things, don't they? So yes, picture that in your mind. I made sure to spend a few minutes with her and tell her everything was okay. I rubbed her. I kind of just try to help her nervous system just to calm a little bit. And I needed, and honestly, by doing that, it helped my nervous system to calm. Because it hurt. It hurt when I landed, but then I just felt so bad about her being chased with that. And I can laugh at it now. Trust me, if I had a neighbor who had a Ring camera, I would have totally posted this for you guys, but nobody has Ring cameras around here, which I'm okay with because I don't like them, but it was something that was just like, all right, I'm going to sit here for a minute and I'm going to tell her, I'm sorry, you're okay, mama made a mistake. And I will hook you to something more solid next time. It's all good. And honestly, I probably could have just put her in a sit-stay, down-stay, and she'd have been fine. But, we make our mistakes, and that's okay. We're all going to do that. It's how we bounce back, right? So mistakes, stress, how do we bounce back? How do we bounce back? And, what do we do to bounce back? So I really want to encourage you guys that if you're struggling with resilience or you think your dog is struggling with resilience, start doing some research for yourself. I posted a video in our Patreon membership on building resilience for the human and what to do, because I do think that it's important we talk about the human as well. But there are many things that can be done to build that resilience, and you don't have to live in a state of fear, anxiety. You don't have to be debilitated by stress, right? Stress doesn't have to be debilitating to you or your dog. There are things that can be done. And I think it's really good for everyone to really look at being resilient and what that looks like and what that looks like to them and how we can get there. So for your dog, just to recap again, build some confidence up. If you're doing any type of aversive style training, balance training, you need to stop. You need to completely stop. You need to get into positive reinforcement. You need to allow your dog to start making decisions, right or wrong, as long as it's safe for them. Right or wrong, they need to make decisions. Okay, we don't just, you know, force our dog to make every right decision. They have to learn how to make decisions and have the confidence to say, yep, I got it wrong, but that's okay. I can get it right next time. Okay, so you got to find ways of doing that and sit down with a bowl full of kibble and just let them offer behavior to earn that kibble. Don't ask them to do anything. Just let them figure it out. Problem solving, that's very important. Look up 101 things to do with a box. That'll help you understand what I mean about this hand feeding and how to let your dog just start making some decisions. That is going to be crucial. Supporting your dog, letting them know that you understand where they're coming from. Right? If they need soothing, soothe them. If they need to be coddled, coddle them. If they need to be cuddled, cuddle them. Okay? If they need to be petted, pet them. Stop ignoring your dog's anxiety and your dog's stress and your dog's fear. Be that supportive partner, because we all need something, someone we can count on to help us when we are struggling with resilience. I hope that helps get you going on at least thinking about resiliency. We're going to dive deeper into this as we go through the next few weeks. I'm going to try my best to get some of the best in the industry on building resilience. I'm going to try to get them on this podcast to talk about resiliency, because it is that important. And there is a lot more to it than what I could cover in a 25-minute, 30-minute episode. There's a lot that we can talk about, but this is at least some things for you guys to get started on and realize that your behavior can affect your dog's resilience and how you interact with them. All right, so if you have questions, reach out to us. If you have an idea for an episode that you would like, please reach out. If you would like to join our Patreon, our $5 a month Patreon, you're going to get some exclusive content, videos, maybe some exclusive podcast episodes, shorter episodes, kind of more personal stuff, I guess you could say, and some direct information about dogs and things for you guys. So that's a place also you can get your questions answered by myself or Gray or maybe even Alicia. So if you have not joined our Patreon, please do so. And if you'd like to join at least the Dog Speak Geek community, where you can have conversation with like-minded Dog Speak Geeks like yourself, so you guys can come together and talk and be a part of everyone's journey. There's power in numbers. And if we can support each other during this journey, during these changes, of not just helping your dog, but hopefully helping you as well, then hey, why not? For a dollar a month, you can have that community support. Be sure you are following us on all social media. Do me a favor, rate and review this podcast wherever you guys are listening. If you have worked with me personally, please give me a Google review. I hate asking for it, but unfortunately, that's how a lot of that's how our name is kind of staying in rotation. Our industry is getting absolutely inundated with new trainers, and unfortunately, majority of them don't really have any education, which is very sad and scary. So we need to make sure that we keep those folks that have experience, knowledge, education, that we keep them really up on top of the search engines. So if you have worked with someone as well and you've really liked what they've done, please go give them a review. Help them reach more people like you so that we can start changing the narrative of balanced dog training, aversive techniques, shock collars, e-collars, prong collars, that we can change that whole dialogue to what is truly important, and that is building those relationships with our dogs, using positive reinforcement to help our dogs manage this crazy world and learn how to live in this world that was absolutely not designed for them. So I do encourage you to do that. And if you've not signed up for the newsletter, do that as well. And I think that's all I have. I need to start making myself notes on what I need to mention. I'm going to try to get more and more organized, but yeah, can't really write very well either right now with my right hand in a, I don't know what I'll call a sling. It's just a, you know, it's a thing. It's keeping it from moving. So splint, that's the word I'm looking for. It's a splint. Oh, goodness gracious. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week.